All right, welcome back to Free Radical Radio. Yes, we still exist, even though we're an anarchist project, and it seems like the longevity of those is Squee's getting attacked by styrofoam here. Welcome to Free Radical Radio, Squee. We're you're joining a project that keeps going 2.5 years in.
I know, and I've been on so much, so we might as well be dating now.
Yeah. But we usually keep the specifics of who we date fairly secret around here, except for Bellamy. So, singing from the mountaintops about being in love, sweet love. Some people have different feelings. You know, feelings are what they are. There's not much you can do about them. But I want to do a little bit of housekeeping around here real quick. You might have noticed, that if you're a listener, that the website's been having some issues lately. And one of the main issues with the website is fixed, so we should be good to go. FreeRadicalRadio.net is good. And as always, you can email us at FreeRadicalRadio@RiseUp.net. And also, I wanted to mention that Bellamy and I, Rydra, will be tabling the Seattle Anarchist Book Fair this upcoming weekend. So we'll both be there hanging out. If you want like a sticker, t-shirt, or you know, if you have the desire to punch either of us in the face, you can find us at the Free Radical Radio table at the Seattle Anarchist Book Fair.
I won't be there.
Squee won't be there.
I won't be there either.
Rev Doc also will not be there. Rev Doc will be holding down the fort here at the... I don't know if I have trouble calling my house a collective, more like a loosely associated group of people who do their own thing. I don't know what you want to call this place.
I thought Fort was fine.
Yeah.
Fort kick-ass.
Yeah. Fort shit show. Fort, no one cleans up their dishes and there's flies all over the house is another thing you could call it.
The unfortunate Fort.
Fort, why does someone keep shitting on this one toilet closest to my bedroom? It's kind of disconcerting why there's shit on this toilet seat. So anyways, let's move on past the, you know, there's poop and we move on. Everyone poops, as a famous book once said. I think Heidegger wrote that one, actually. I think that's why people have so many issues with this philosophy.
Yeah, poop and time.
Yeah, it was quite a showing there of intellect and, what do you want to call it, crudeness, I guess.
He was just opening up to you. All right, let's go. I don't want
to... Well, in personal news, the good news is I don't have cancer. The bad news is I had to get in a texting fight with my boss to find out I don't have cancer. I had a checkup last Friday, and I've been telling my boss for a long time that I wasn't coming in on this day, and she put me on the schedule, and at my work, like, if you get put on the schedule, you have to find your own way off of it. It's like you have to battle to get someone to take you off the schedule. You can't just say you're not coming. And so I couldn't find anyone, so I was like, I texted her Thursday. I'm like, I didn't find anyone. Like, I'm not going to be there tomorrow. And she kept texting back, you have to be there, like, you're on the schedule. And I kept saying, I sent 4 different text messages back that explicitly said, I will not be there under any circumstance. And I really made it real dramatic. You know, I said, this is life or death. I am not putting my life at risk to open the pool to lifeguard for rich yuppies. And I got really out of pocket real fast, and the whole thing was back and forth. It was really ridiculous.
Oh, I know. The more access they have to your life, it's like you have to be that much more dramatic about it.
I know, and I was just thinking, like, the fact that bosses can text you, it's really dark, because they expect the response, you know?
Yeah, and I don't give that to anybody.
Yeah. Yeah, my boss is particularly bad. It's, she does go off on she's a whole set of problems on her own. I guess she had an American flag sticker on her phone. Someone was like, oh, you know, what's up with that? And she was like, what? I can't have an American flag? I'm like, she's like, I could have a Confederate flag if I want. And the people were like, all right, that's fine, whatever. And then she's like, what? You have an issue with white pride? White people can't be proud?
Oh, Jesus. Like,
went off a cliff really fast with her.
Yeah, the texting thing is interesting. I was really hungover one morning and decided I couldn't go into work. And I texted my boss and I couldn't figure out what excuse to make. So I told them that my lung collapsed, and so I wound up getting 2 days off.
I like that you only got 2 days off for a lung collapsing.
Well, I was able to provide enough bullshit details about it that it wasn't so severe that I needed surgery, but, you know, it was bad enough that they didn't want me to go to work because it's a phone job and I gotta fucking talk a lot.
Oh, yeah, yeah. So... This anecdote's gonna get a little Manichean, but I have a good grandpa and a bad grandpa, and my bad grandpa, he died when I was, I don't know what, like 14 or 15 or something, which was fine. He was mostly an asshole. I only met him a few times. He was kind of a dick to my dad. He, you know, passed on the whole dad thing as dads will pass it on, you know, and I'm not sure how far back that dad assholeness went, but it at least extended to my grandpa. And So I had this thing where every time I started a semester of college, I would tell all my professors at the beginning, you know, my grandpa's sick, so you can't expect much out of me, and I'm going to have to leave a lot this semester. And then as the semester went on, things would keep happening. So like around midterms, I'd have to, oh my God, you know, grandpa's sick, he had a heart attack, I got to fly home. And then eventually towards finals, grandpa would die right the week before finals week, so I'd have to go home before the funeral. And it's really stupid because I was still doing the same amount of work, and it was just, there's no reason for this. I would just postpone it, and I would end up spending like the last 2 weeks after the semester was over catching up on all my work. And, you know, all these people think my grandpa's dead, and I'd have to like pretend I was flying back home to see, you know, bad grandpa. But that was like, and I did this over and over again just because I knew I was going to fuck up school every time. So that was the only way I got through.
It's like, that's how you got through with your cold feet. Like, you're getting cold feet about finishing, and then you're like, oh, I'm not going to quit, but Grandpa, you're going to have to die again.
Yeah, Grandpa kept dying, so thanks for that.
Yeah.
All right, so...
So what else is new?
I mean, anything exciting happened to you last weekend? Did anyone you know of suffer the fate of a cruel physical attack?
Well, I seem to be presenting the news of people getting punched in the face when I come on here.
And yeah, did you talk about yourself getting punched in the face last time you were on?
Well, that was the first time.
That was the first time, okay.
I don't think I mentioned it last time, but I did have an accident with a refrigerator.
Yeah, can't trust a refrigerator. It's the first rule of anarchy.
Right.
Yeah, it's an anti-civ position, really.
It is totally, you know, whatever. So, Bob Black.
Right.
I got to see him take a walloping.
I don't know if I called a walloping. It was mostly pretty uneventful. It was kind of a character a lot of people know in the Bay. Kind of a caricature. One of those people who's like kind of living what I would almost deem a meta life. It's hard to describe it as a real life when it seems so fantastical.
I have someone in Phoenix that is very similar, but this is a more goth version.
Yeah. Yeah. So they actually came to the reading group on Tuesday, and we're trying to do the whole, you know, snitch, whatever, blah, blah thing. And then mostly no one cared, so they left. And then came back on Friday. Basically just, what did they say? It's just like the typical fare. Racist, snitch, punched him in the face a couple times. Didn't do much damage, honestly, for punching a very old man in the face, I gotta say.
No. Well, it's ridiculous how just unable to defend himself he could have been in that situation.
Yeah.
And then to just have that perfect target in.
And still fail. It was basically a good sucker punch opportunity went wrong.
Yeah.
But I mean,
like, there was somebody who, they were from Germany, and they were like 12 years old or something like that. They were there. And the only thing that they were wondering about the situation was, why didn't they aim for the nose? And why were they wearing a fucking enormous backpack while they were punching somebody?
Yeah. It's funny how little thought I think went into that. But I think it's funny, too, because I think for the most part in the leftist, like, social justice warrior type scenes this person lives in, basically, Bob Black is totally irrelevant to them. Like, I mean, not... Like, irrelevant in that I don't think any of those people are reading or engaging with his ideas. So it's like almost just something external to get mad about, which if they're going to get mad about that, why don't they might as well, I feel like, get mad at their neighbor who's calling the police, you know?
Yeah, I mean, but anarchy, you know.
But anarchy, yeah.
They're in the sacred space.
That's true. And I think later in the show we'll get to talk a little bit about the sacred space as it relates to post-left anarchy and what that means for the sacred space of classical anarchy and classical anti-oppression anarchy.
There's a lot of this going on today.
Of what going on?
Sacred space.
Yeah, it's really important. So let's talk about another sacred space, anarchist news.
Right, the comment section.
The comment section is a very sacred space to some people. I was telling Squee earlier, the CAPTCHA is what stops me from posting on there all the time because I just can't, you know, if it's Facebook or something else, I guess it's the only place I really go online these days for that is because I do the show on there, so I post on there. And sometimes I'll just scroll through and I can't help myself and I'm just like, you know, start typing maniacally into someone's, you know, box. Sounds really wrong when I'm saying it. And I'm just like, boom, enter. And before I know it, I've said the thing and I usually end up erasing it like right away 90% of the time. It's just more for catharsis. I press enter and then delete it, pretend like it never happened. But yeah, for A-News, I respect people who do the capture. It's quite a bit there to type in that weird thing. Also, I just got glasses recently, and I think the other problem was I had trouble seeing the capture sometimes.
CAPTCHA.
Thanks, RevDoc.
CAPTCHA.
So anyways, Worker retired today, which is news for some people, especially the comment section people.
Yeah, it seems like this is a new... Well, I said it was a big deal, too.
Yeah.
But, you know, I thought I was going to be the only one, but there's a whole list of gratitude and tears and worry and concern about the new collective. And
yeah, we'll see what happens. We'll see if it becomes more navigatable or if discussions improve. I feel like lately there's actually been some fairly interesting discussion on there. I think it kind of has ebbs and flows.
I think it's gotten a little more tolerable after a few weeks ago. Worker posted something about comments, and it seems like people started caring. I don't know.
Yeah, so let's dissect this a little bit. Let's talk about what this means. So I'm going to quote Worker real quick, and I guess, what do you call it, their retirement speech?
Yeah.
Yeah, so this is part of their retirement speech from A-News. They said, it used to be that anarchism, the set of people who used the term, was filled with a bunch of people who did things. Since the rise of the internet, this has become increasingly not the case. My greatest disappointment in running A-News is that it has witnessed this degradation of interesting activity of anarchists. The internet does not inform interesting activity. It kills its stillborn. It's a different meaning there when you say it that way. Most new anarchists fear the attention of the broader anarchist community because it almost never comes off as supportive. And when it does, it tends to be in the style of NGO shit sandwich rhetorical kindness.
Do you want to explain what that is?
Which part?
The shit sandwich.
Hey, go ahead.
I just recently had it explained to me, and apparently it's when you start with a compliment, provide the criticism or insult in the center, and then end with a compliment. And I guess this is something that liberal NGO types like to use as a way to communicate their drama.
It sounds like passive aggressiveness, basically.
It's passive aggressive passiveness.
Passive aggressive passiveness, huh?
Yeah.
So then the last sentence was, quote, "The internet is now at the center of how we communicate with each other, and it means our communication is worse than ever." So, seems like Worker doesn't like the internet so much, or has at least some bones to pick with it.
Yes.
So I guess I'm going to ask you a few questions here. We can spitball. So I'm just taking from this. Do you think the anarchists used to do more, whether in the last 10 years or the last 20 years or from before we were born? We're both in our... the third part of our life, or we're halfway through our life probably with the amount we smoke.
I'm 30.
Yeah.
I'm not going to try to figure out how that,
okay.
What the ratio is there.
Okay.
It's really hard to say. I think there's definitely a generational change in how anarchists do things. Like 15 years ago when I started getting into it, it was very regular. I'd be meeting up with people every week, and every single week we would be coming up with something new to do in the streets, and then also partying afterwards and just having a fucking blast together.
Yeah, and it's kind of hard for me to say because I've watched so much of this from the internet my whole life because I was living in Hawaii where, you know, there wasn't like... Maybe it's different now, but at least when I lived there wasn't a bunch of anarchists meeting up, and even my last few years there was mostly... hanging out with anarchists that I wouldn't have as much in common with now with where my interests lie currently. And, you know, the most interesting thing that I was doing before I left was Food Not Bombs like 8 years ago, and that's, you know, whatever. So at least in my opinion, there wasn't a lot of interesting stuff happening there. And even the indigenous struggles, which anarchists usually try to get tied into or whatever, which is, you know, obviously a big deal in Hawaii. It wasn't happening there like that. It might be different now.
There was definitely more of a DIY culture, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Tied in with punk, because everybody I knew in the punk scene, it wasn't popular enough to have just fans. Everyone kind of had to do something, or you wouldn't really have a show, or you wouldn't have shirts, or you wouldn't have like recorded music. And I think anarchism suffered the same sort of unpopularity at the time, where if you were going to be around, then you were going to wind up doing something. Now I think, you know, there's enough infrastructure, at least, for people to just sort of sit around. And, like, one of the things I remember dealing with forever was just, like, you had to define the term anarchism every time that you fucking brought it up to somebody. Now you didn't. That never happens. Everybody thinks they know what it means.
And oh, yeah. People hardly define any of the terms, right?
Right.
I mean, we're not going to sit here and attack it right now forever. That's not what today's show is about. But even just all the anti-oppression buzzwords, like, almost none of those, like, racism, sexism, just all the big words that get thrown around, like, almost never do I see people sit down and try to be like, well, actually, if we're going to talk about this, maybe we should figure out what we mean when we say these words so we can try to communicate with each other, you know?
Yeah, it used to be totally... But what that did is it created the sense that if you have to explain what the word anarchism even fucking means, and, you know, that's where you get all these millions of what is anarchism pamphlets.
Mm-hmm.
If you have to do that, then there's a lot more sense of obligation or responsibility for, like, being at sort of the front lines of spreading this, you know, amazing new concept to people.
The gospel of anarchy.
Yeah. But in a way, yeah.
Yeah. Hey, did you know you can get by without a boss?
You could break the spell.
Yeah.
You could break that fucking spell.
All right. So the other thing I was wondering a couple things, but I was just wondering what the general thoughts you have on how discourse affects action and how so and how the changing discourse, because I think it's pretty inarguable that anarchist discourse, at least in America. Has changed quite a bit recently. I think not only do we have, like, the rise of, like, the different post-left tendencies, if you want to call them that we're going to talk about later, like, you know, nihilism, egoism, post-left anarchy, other stuff in that vein. And then you have, obviously, the hardcore anti-oppression, just straight leftist types and all that, where people more see themselves coming from that instead of breaking with that. So... I'm just wondering how you think that discourse has affected action here.
Well, here I don't know. But it seems like the internet does play into it a lot more here. I know that the anarchists that I don't get along with in Phoenix could give a flying fuck about the discourse.
I mean,
and they're young. They're not, as a group, they're a young group.
Yeah.
So it's not like...
I guess the follow-up question to that is, do you think there's people not acting out of, because this is kind of what I feel like what workers insinuating or implying here, I think they're trying to say that maybe people aren't acting out of fear of other anarchists instead of just fear out of the state, or do you think that's just a convenient way to explain periods and long lulls of inaction?
I'm sure there's people that don't do things they might otherwise do because of the response they would get from anarchists. Yeah, I definitely. There is sort of a creativity killer about the way that people critique each other now.
Yeah, that's kind of my biggest concern. I think the reason Bellamy and I first started the radio show in the first place is, like, we were just like, where is the creativity of thought and action? And through that, we've met more creative people who are willing to have and able to have some of the conversations we want to have. But in general, I find it pretty hard once someone, you know, tells me they're radical or anarchist, I don't immediately feel like, oh, great, I'm going to be able to have an awesome conversation with this person, say whatever I want. I'm more like, oh, fuck, now I probably got to watch what I say or else I'm just going to fucking, this person's going to be pissed off at me. It's going to be a whole fucking deal. And I don't need to deal with that shit right now.
That might epitomize it really well.
Yeah, which is a bummer because then I feel like people more or less, that's the way my justice-minded perspective, I feel like people get to get away with these fucking lazy-ass bullshit opinions. Because no one wants to challenge them because they know it's going to be a fucking shit show and a nightmare. And no one wants to put in the work of having a conversation with someone who has no interest in a good faith conversation with you.
I always think back to the first protests I went to, and there would be, like, the radical cheerleaders hanging out with people dressed like aliens and UFOs, hanging out with people inspired by insurrectionary anarchism, hanging out with the anarcho-primitives. There was no, like, it wasn't so fucking critical and feuding that anyone cared to that extent. I couldn't imagine anybody dressing like a UFO now and going to, like... Maybe they shouldn't.
Yeah.
That's another thing. But...
But it does seem like that, doesn't it?
The anti-globalization protests compared to now, where it's the only possible emotion you could be expressing is rage. There's something about that that is just not what I'm interested in. I don't want to try to get pissed off to go out into the streets. Like, yeah. If I'm pissed off, good. I could be pissed off, and sometimes I do. I get pissed off.
Yeah.
But most of the time, no.
You look all pissed off right now.
Most of the time, I'm not, though. I'm, like, I'm out having a good time, and it's taking over the streets, and you get to enjoy yourself. And that, you know, it's just one type of action, but...
Yeah, I think it's hard not to find that enjoyable. I mean...
But you're now... It's, like, uncouth.
To enjoy it?
Yeah.
Yeah, God, the joy has really been... I feel like the joy has really been sucked out. It's really difficult.
Fun suckers.
Yeah, which is so frustrating, because I'm reading Jitterbug Perfume right now. I'm always going to tie in my fiction, no matter what anyone wants to say. And one of the main characters figures out how to not die, basically. So he's been living for 700 years, and he's kind of thinking about his life philosophy, and he's like, kind of goes full wolfy, like Landstriker for a second, and he goes, you know, at the end of the day, it was really just all about play. He's like, the reason I keep staying alive instead of die is because I like to have fun. And that's the reason I wake up, because I know at some point in the day, even on my shittiest day, I'll probably have a little bit of fun throughout the day at some point.
It actually reminds me of something else, which is, did you know what RAN was? Red and Anarchist Action Network?
No, you mean the Rainforest Action Network?
No, RAAN?
No.
So it was this model called the Action Network. And what you had was like a message board where you could post basically DIY instructions for how to build a certain skill set, and then there would be report backs on different actions. And the group was called RAN, and the big joke on Anarchist News was people would say RAN or GTFO, so RAN or get the fuck out, because it was supposed to be like the most hardcore insurrectionary position to take. And I was talking about this the other day with a friend, because I used to be very fond of it, and I used to go on the message board. And even that was more fun and more experimental than what I think is going on now. Like, they're promoting free running or parkour. I'm not sure if that's the pronunciation.
Yeah, parkour is awesome.
And,
what's
like,
not
tagging
about
crews
that? Yeah.
And all sorts of, like, just fun ways to attack. And,
yeah.
But it wasn't this, like, I don't know. And then the Manarchist accusations used to be a lot... more easily brushed off, because it wasn't a macho thing. People were basically just jackasses.
Yeah. Anyway. I mean, I don't know. I think that's more interesting. I think fun can be kind of hard to come by. You know, I think sometimes like certain people in certain scenes or places are interested in like having fun, and even just doing stupid shit, like just fucking like going and hang out with groups of people and like. Making something that is absurd, like the spectacle is so absurd, and just fucking sometimes just making it seem even more absurd is worth it, you know?
Yeah, like security camera players or whatever.
Yeah, like all kinds of stuff.
This is like one of the reasons I've always liked Anarchist News, is because the comments section had embraced the attitude of joking around and having fun, which is another part of the statement Worker made. But.
Yeah, I mean, I'm a big fan of like, kind of the ethos of if you can't laugh at something, it owns you. And I feel like really, you know, like that's how it is. You know, even if you just go through a breakup or something like horrible happens where someone just totally screws you over and you're like, fuck man, they got me, you know? Like sometimes at work a customer will own me and I feel like the only way I can get over it is to be like, yeah, you know, they really fucking destroyed me there. There's not much I can do about that, and just fucking laugh about it and move on with my day.
Well, who is it, Freud, that describes humor as the death of an emotion?
Oh, that's a good way. Even if that's not Freud, I feel a lot of good feelings about that.
Kant? I don't know. Email us?
Yeah, email us at freeradicalradioriseup.net if you know the answer to that. Apparently we're doing trivia now. We'll send you a t-shirt. We'll send anyone a t-shirt that asks for one, basically. We have a lot of t-shirts right now. The quality of them is, I would say, 3 out of 10, 2 out of 10, maybe.
You should have consulted somebody about the colors, dude.
Yeah, we had some contrast issues. So, actually, hopefully we're printing some new t-shirts this week. That should be pretty sweet. Yeah, was there any other final thoughts on A-News, I guess? I think it's interesting to see the other, I guess It's Going Down is coming up now. It's, I don't know why. I thought that just came out really naturally. That was pure accident.
I haven't read a lot of the content on there.
Yeah, I feel like it's almost more like a closing house for just whatever news. Not having comments is interesting. I don't know if users are allowed to submit on there. I'm not sure what's going on or what's going down right now.
I don't really understand the format yet. But it's going to be... It'll have to be around for a while before that stuff all gets...
Plus, I was confused why people were like, oh, here comes the death of A-News. It's like, fuck, like, really, there's not enough room for two anarchist websites in America?
I totally didn't understand that.
Like, how many, like, couldn't there be more and fucking some super fucking absurd ones and some really fucking serious ones where they're just, like, towing their fucking line? Don't give a shit. Like, why can't we just have more? Like, the lack of, there's no fucking robusticity. Is that a word? One of these words meaning robust. Trying to search for something here. It's just so fucking...
thick.
It's not thick. It's fucking thin. You know? There's just, like, not enough there for me. I want more. I want it all. You know, it's like Amy Winehouse says.
How's going, Queen?
What Amy Winehouse says, something like, she's his boyfriend, but, you know, that's not enough for me. I want it all. She's just taking everything. I kind of embrace the old Amy Winehouse attitude most of the time, I hope at least. I just saw the biography the other day.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm deep in the game. I don't know.
It's more Queen on this side of the room.
Yeah,
everyone else is throwing Queen at me. All right. Well, we're going to go to break. We'll come back and we're going to talk about more shit. We're probably going to talk about Wild Reaction because fucking why not? And we're going to talk about Post-Left Anarchy and why no one knows what the fuck it means for some reason. So this is Free Radical Radio. We will return.
I read the bad part of the book first, cause if I first the bad part, the third part won't feel worse. Immersed in inertia, a person could hurt you. Cursed by the verse of a first person murder. Cadabra, cadabra, a corpse, a cadabra. It's magic like average cadaver menagerie taggers. Toe ticket clothes, black bag, tongue waggers. All about cloaking them daggers. One more dead, one more dead. Can I get a holler for one more head? One more head. The cards, ruffle the feathers, buck the odds and stay tougher than leather. Go getters, go getters, go get a gun. And for those who don't know, better hoes better run. Run out and buy a fresh deck of cards. Stop faking butter and start faking lard. One more dead, one more dead. Can I get a holler for one more head? One more head for one more hand. One more bet for one more man. I tell the story again about the knife and the guts. Where the guts go, goddamn, when the knife edge cuts. There'll be blood and such to represent bad luck. And crust in the plot when events scab up. It's a raid. It's a raid. Everybody against the wall. Everybody. Tonight the house won't win. No, they won't. Tonight the house won't win at all. It's a grave. It's a grave, grave situation here. Someone spit on the artifice. Twisted the chandelier. Don't waste your go-go's. Don't placate your crocus. Don't shade your bobos. Don't take a lump your losses. Don't look down. Don't look. I'm a lamb. I'm a light. I'm a leg, a leg, a leg. Look like blood, cold, blood, cold, blood. Don't ask if you don't know. Blood, cold, blood, cold, blood. Ain't in your heart no more. Don't waste your go-go's. Don't placate your crocus. Don't shade your bobos. Don't take a lump your losses, the boss gets the gaps in the gavel. Progress is cost minus loss divided by time traveled. Tell me true, can you ever win back the? Tell me true, can you ever win back the? Tell me true, can you ever win back the limb you lose? Or do you just lose your limbs again and again until your life lies limitless? There's limits to how much independence you can give an appendage before the end of the hand is definitive. That's why this tale is regenerative. One more dead, can I get a holler for one more? Place your bets.
Welcome back to Free Radical Radio, where one of us embroiders, one of us pops a beer, and one of us ponders whether or not they should quit work in the next 12 hours. So you decide which. It's kind of like two truths and a lie, except for it's three assholes and three truths, I guess. Anyways, welcome back to the show, and we're going to talk about Wild Reaction, because, you know, they're always good fodder for conversation, and they seem to be fairly divisive usually, and they're back up at it again. And they kind of embraced full Unabomber, it seems like, last month. And a lot of this is from War on Society. And they actually released a longer communique that maybe I'll get into with Bellamy in a couple weeks, or maybe with Squee or someone else. But we're not going to talk about it today. But they kind of were thinking about all the communiques and actions they've done and seeing if their ideas still match up. So it's kind of interesting. I would suggest checking it out on War on Society. It's on No Blogs. So anyways, I'm just going to read their communique from a few weeks ago. It came out after it was done. This first one's from July 2nd, so kind of a long time ago, but a lot of this didn't get out. At least I didn't see it on any American sites till recently. So they said, envelopes with electromechanical activation and incendiary charge have been left in various targets in Mexico State. And one of the targets, they said, was the Commission of Human Rights of Mexico State. And This is them talking now. We decided to attack this institution since it symbolizes humanism and progressivism. We repudiate all those who go screeching to these kinds of committees to demand guarantees of their human rights, respect, in quotes, for their group decisions, and a, quote, end to repression. It is absurd that these lowlives expect these kinds of meager organizations to resolve their problems, to protect and defend them. A clear example of how is that the modern human has put his own security in the hands of strangers instead of taking justice into his own hands and defending himself as he did before. These kinds of institutions are a banality. The, quote, pus, only a simple facade for dissimulating the system's incapacity to manage internal problems in a decadent society, and this is why we attacked. So that's one. We'll talk about these in the section. I'm just going to read them. The other people they attacked were the Valley Division of North Mexico, and that was basically just the heads of electrical substations, and they were the people in charge of them, and they're saying it's just as important to attack the people as that. And then they go on. You can read this online if you want all the specifics. And then the last one was Lucerna University, and they just said, quote, in the present era full of digital data, technological innovations, and artificial aberrations, it is vitally important to continue the project of attacking these kinds of sciences, which day by day stupefy the dependent minds of the enslaved modern human, making a total absurdity of the imposed reality. Sciences like these, which tend toward alienation have declared war on the wild, need to be an objective and fixed target of those who, like ourselves, cling to their most primal and wild past. And then this is how they sign it. They really go for it. Today, like yesterday, we shout to the four winds, which is a Bright Eyes song, just so you know. Nature is good, civilization is bad. Wounds and sabotages against those in charge of maintaining the electrical industry. Shrapnel in the bodies of the leaders of humanist institutions. I think they did that one just for me. Death for those who prepare the way toward a super artificial and hyper civilized present. Signed by Wild Reaction. And the Grupuscules were the Master of the Green Fire and Thunder of the Mixton.
Oh, the Mixton.
Yeah. I'm sure there's relevance there. We haven't put the work in to find out what it is. And then, really quick, one of the packages was found, and in typical, I guess, Wild Reaction / anarchist fashion, no one died. even though they're, I guess, I'm not really sure the nature of these attacks. It's electromechanical. I'm not sure even what that means exactly. It's a big word for me. But so the company ICA is civil and associated engineers. I guess does a lot of infrastructure on freeways and plants, basically all kinds of shit in Mexico. And they ended up attacking them. And there's a long communique that I'm not going to read all of that basically says, we're going to keep attacking you. And it says, on July 6th, the letter was brought inside the building and opened by one of the secretaries, which caused the package to explode. And it says, creating a nervous breakdown. I feel like that's a poor translation. Police mobilization and alarm along the engineers complicit in civilization's devastation. Even though, according to the press, due to a failure in the mechanism, the device didn't achieve full detonation, don't worry, we're already working on making the next one more forceful. And so Thunder of Mixton was again involved in this one, and then you also had the Grupuscule Nocturnal Hunter. So Thunder of Mixton is up in the biz, apparently.
Does that mean they're winning?
I'm not sure, so... I guess I'm gonna say it again. I said to Squee earlier, but you know, some people say you can't make an omelet without breaking a couple eggs, and I think Wild Reaction has decided you can't burn the whole kitchen down without breaking a couple eggs.
Yeah.
Still not working for you?
Still don't get it.
Okay. Either way, so I guess my main thing here is like, whatever. Clearly, Wild Reaction says they're not moralists. Gets into tech bad, wild good, and you know we've discussed that idea on the show plenty. Bellamy and I have. Especially when we, had different ideas a long time ago, and we were more easily accused of being Manichean and having black and white ideas and good and bad and all that. I think that's a more difficult accusation to levy at us now, but still probably doable. Happens all the time. But I'm wondering, are we seeing any propaganda of the deed here? It's kind of inarguable that Wild Reaction has definitely spawned other groups, especially in like Chile and some other places in South America. That have similar name groups doing similar things. But, I don't know, what do you think about propaganda of the deed type stuff?
Well, that's definitely what it is.
Right. I mean, clearly they themselves are not enough to bring it down, you know?
Yeah. But I've never bothered to come to a conclusion about it because, well, I guess my conclusion has been I don't see it having any consequence.
Mm-hmm.
That's worth it.
I guess what's interesting to me now is that they, with while attacking the chair, they attack the Disabled Children's Foundation or whatever last year, and then attacking the Human Rights Organization. And yeah, I think it's interesting that they're not only just saying they don't like the left; they are actually attacking or attempting to attack the left and physically too, not just in writing.
I seem to remember that in Greece they would attack the offices of the left as well during elections and things like that.
But it doesn't really seem to go that way here in America, in North America, does it? Maybe I'm missing something.
Who gets attacked in North America?
No one, I guess. But
I guess when the Nazis or whatever come to town, there's that. There's the police, but they're the left and the right.
Sure. I guess I just feel like the dialogue is so different here, where it seems like the left is somewhat included in it, for the most part.
Well, the left here is a weird thing to begin with.
It's not as easily definable, I guess.
You don't have a Marxist left.
Right. So...
That's going to segue into the next thing.
Yeah, let's just segue right into the next thing, because that makes more sense. So, I guess Squee and I were talking the other day about what to talk about, and obviously Bob Black was in town last week, and we both, at least Squee and I, engage in a lot of, I guess, what you would consider post-left ideas, from post-left anarchy to egoism, nihilism, anti-civ theory. Like, you know, we dabble. We're dabblers.
Definitely. So I see a lot of... This is mostly on anarchist news, I have to admit. I don't know how much people actually extend this sort of commentary into conversations they're having privately or off the internet. But I see it a lot, where... This grouping of nihilist, egoist, and post-left is all smushed together into kind of like one blob of this is the enemy for some other kind of anarchist, and I can't even figure out what they are. Because as long as I can remember, really, I mean, since any kind of break with syndicalism, it's basically been post-left anarchism. And so I kind of get the impression that people who are writing this kind of shit actually are targeting someone specific, whether it's like worker or like LBC. But I could not imagine that they're not influenced by post-left anarchism.
I think you would basically have to like stick your head into the sand to not be, at least if you participate or active in anarchy anywhere and end up meeting different people. I think it'd be hard pressed if you're actually not to meet someone who's interested in talking about these ideas if you're getting yourself out there around a little bit.
Yeah, and if you look at the scope of what post-left anarchism includes, arguably, it includes green anarchism and anarcho-primitivism, and a lot of insurrectionary anarchists would consider themselves post-left. And really, it's like the book Black Flame by Lucien Vanderbilt, whatever, the other person.
Yeah, whatever.
That's the left. That's left anarchism. And that's, I have never met anybody that comes from that position, except for one person from the study group.
Oh, yeah. Sure.
So I don't know who gets so offended by the post-left position.
I mean, I feel like its main foil is anti-oppression people right now at this point, at least here in America, the way it works out.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, clearly, it's not the same as in other places, obviously, right? Like, there's not as many people who are out front and proud to be Marxists, you know, as there might be somewhere else, or, you know, other versions of some leftist thing. I feel like if you're a classical anarchist, obviously Marxism is very friendly to that, but other than that, not really, you know?
Right. Yeah, I just think it's very bizarre. Obviously, but so the way these arguments get put together, I really think what they're talking about is the nihilists or nihilists and egoists. I don't think the post-left thing is part of it, but that's thrown in there just to, I don't know, target a Joda or something like that, or Bob Black.
So how are you seeing it more specifically then?
Well, so it tends to be framed as these are people that just sit around and say that nothing can happen. And that they're not revolutionaries, so they don't believe in struggle or any kind of, like, grassroots action, however you want to put that. And it seems to conflate post-left with with admitting that this shit is, some of this is not going to work. But insurrectionary anarchism was already not revolutionary anarchism. That was the whole fucking point. And I suspect that the people that make these accusations are insurrectionaries.
I almost feel like insurrectionary anarchism is such like a mishmash right now, because I feel like a lot of those people that were identified that way are revolutionaries, or would consider themselves a revolutionary.
Yeah, it's very weird. I don't totally understand what IA turned into, but it used to be filled with concepts like how you could have your actions resonate with other people. Basically, so like wild reaction.
Uh-huh.
Something that you could do easily. Well, arguably.
Yeah.
They're not doing anything easy.
Sure.
But, you know, some sort of attack that's easy to reproduce and would cause some kind of, or inspire some kind of insurrection. And it wouldn't be a revolution where you have some fucking political party or worker organization take over. It would be an insurrectionary moment which would create a power vacuum that then the masses, or whatever you want to call people who are not insurrectos, would fill in the gap, kind of like in a Katrina situation or whatever.
Well, it almost seems like the modern American insurrectionary anarchist is finding themselves in dialogue with the left, because it's not insurrectionary anarchists. I would define a lot of them here as almost you know, riot tourists, where they're sitting around and they know that their activism or that their anarchy every year is a few riots a few times a year when a, you know, black person dies or something else, you know, as they say, pops off. And then as it goes, it starts off, it'll usually start, you know, they're all so similar, right? They'll start off with like a lot of energy, and then things will happen. Eventually there'll come a point where some, you know, a window is broken, obviously, or like someone gets hurt or whatever happens, and you know, or it's too inconvenient for people getting to work or whatever ends up pissing people off. And then a dialogue happens with the left. And Doug's book, I Saw Fire, is actually pretty much about this meeting up of is partly about this, which is one of the things I find more interesting about it. But I don't see most of these people drawing these distinct lines and being like, well, I'm not going to work with these nonprofits or whatever. I feel like they're kind of trying to navigate this terrain to keep the thing going so there's a mass of people for them to break off from at some point.
That is so different than the way that it, at least for, let's just say Phoenix Anarchist Coalition,
mm-hmm.
the way that we would think about that. I mean, we would barely ever work with the left. And even like, anytime we even made a concession, we would get thrown right under the fucking bus, like with the border stuff.
Uh-huh.
And the left parachuting activist assholes would just like be like, oh, no, anarchists did it. Go fuck them up and go arrest them. And it's their fault. And they would just blab on the media.
Mm-hmm.
So I come from a place where there's a tradition of practical, like, antagonism towards the left. And when I say post-left, I'm not only talking about the abstract ideas about ideology and amoralism, but like, no, fuck them. They are all about political power, ultimately, and you're going to serve their interest.
Right. I think that's what get lost sometimes is that it's so easy for people like that to fit anarchists into their narrative to get what they want. It just, it suits them perfectly to have a more extreme wing, right? Like, I mean, basically that's like the history of most revolutions anyways. And it's not even like it's a revolution, so it's a much more low stakes thing that's been happening lately. But I mean, arguably you can look at India or even the civil rights movement here as just the moderate reformists using the more extreme people, throwing them under the bus to get to power, you know?
Right. Or just trying to bar radical and anarchist participants from entrance into events and to say that they're outside agitators.
Right.
I mean, so I don't know how after like 10, however many years it's been since insurrectionary anarchism became more popular, but there's never been any evidence that it's good to work with the left at all, period.
No. I mean,
clearly. That whole discourse of outside agitators comes out of the left. It's not the fucking Republicans or the right wing saying, oh, the outside agitators are ruining the protests or whatever. It's always been
Left. They're just totally, they dislike the whole protest as a whole. So, yeah.
Right. Yeah, they're like, these people should be at work.
50 hours.
And then the left is, we need peaceful protest.
Right.
And then the anarchists were usually like, fuck you. And now, I don't know how anybody is not denouncing them. So there's the left part of anarchism, which is the class, you know, the broad history of class struggle anarchism or whatever the term is they use in Black mm-hmm. Flame. Where the fuck is that happening? Like the IWW and NEFAC, which is over and done with as far as I know?
I think it happens in like little ways where like small groups form or it's hard to even explain the way I've seen it manifest, but the way I see it manifesting is just, you know, people talking about ideas and saying like, oh no, you can't do that because, you know, these people or whatever. And it's usually a lot of it. Like I feel almost sick of talking about this because I'm so annoyed about it, but like it does come to identity in some parts, you know? And then I feel like some people are like, oh, well, we have like a, you know, here's some black people over on the insurrectionary team who can say they'll write the article that this is actually fucked up or like, you know, It took indigenous people writing the fucking accomplice not ally thing for people to finally be like, oh, maybe you shouldn't do things out of guilt and actually should only act out of the things you want to be doing, where people are paying attention to actually like think, oh yeah, that's reasonable, you know?
And well, I'm fortunate enough to come from the same location that uh-huh. document came out of. So, but it's common sense to me. So when I see like the social justice, where what you're saying, like where social justice activity pulls the left into the mix, I'm just like, you realize this, it's not either or, right? There's other options of how to deal with the left and also not be racist.
Right. Yeah.
I mean, and that was one of the biggest strategies for the the border shit in 2010 was we had a Dene, Odham, anti-authoritarian and anarchist black bloc, and the left organizations that were parachuting in were not recognizing how border militarization would impact indigenous people, and they were advocating for militarization instead of no migration, instead of SB 1070.
Oh, I see.
And things like that.
What a joy
and so
that
the
conversation
way,
is.
The way that we attacked the left was we focused on their blindness to colonization. Like, there's usually some kind of option like that, and that's, to me, the option that it's still post-left. There's nothing leftist about being an accomplice.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, I don't think there's anything leftist as long as you're, I mean, I think it's pretty simple how to define the left, right? They're just a political faction. So if you're anti-political and that you're holding to that, I think it's pretty easy to not find yourself being reasonably accused of being a leftist.
Right. I don't understand how you could support an ideology that is fundamentally about techno-industrial capitalism and call yourself a fucking anarchist.
Yeah, it's really hard to believe.
Because the left in another country is communist, but here they're all capitalists. There's no fucking Marxist left here.
No, and they're just like people who made an attempt at reading Capital in a reading group so they could get laid or something, and then it didn't work out well for them.
Yeah.
It worked out well and they left the group because they got laid, one of the two.
I guess there's like Chris Hedges, there's like the grimy fucking like...
But I don't feel like anarchists are interested in that, right? I feel like... I don't even really... I'm honestly confused who's interested in Chris Hedges.
Progressives. People who watch Bill Maher.
People who watch Bill Maher. Okay.
Or are interested in Naomi Klein and this, like...
So I guess those are, like, mostly, what, college-educated people who are just kind of sitting around, like, armchair activist-type people who, like, support causes on Facebook or something?
Well, yeah. I mean, social democrats, basically. They think that there could be a management, like... Not, I don't know if it's necessarily Keynesian, but some kind of management of capital through a left political party. But they're trying to build that party. It's not like... I don't know what the revolutionary left here would be. The RCP would... I mean...
This is why I find so much value in John Gray's, because he directly ties the secular humanist progressive Chomskyite, Hedgeite, or Hedgian, whatever you want to call them, Bill Maher person... And he directly ties them, shows, like, I like that he shows the link between them and the ideas of progress and science, and shows, like, how intricately connected all that is, and just, like, what a fucking nightmare all that is, and how it's so nice just to push it away and say no thank you.
Among so many other reasons.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. Among so many other reasons, if not just for these reasons, which, to me, make plenty of sense.
So that's just... I mean, that's just what I think might be a confusion about what post-left can mean. Arguably, it doesn't sit comfortably with green anarchism and stuff like that. It's like Jason McLean and Bob Black and Lawrence Jarrock and, like, people who have theorized an anti-ideological, amoral, anti-work perspective.
Right, and that, I mean, we've talked about that clashes here with green anarchism and primitivism and... Things that I guess the people who would define themselves as post-left, I think, would make the argument that they're ideological, and that's how they would try to negate those tendencies.
Yeah, but no one would get offended that you're attacking the left from those tendencies.
No, definitely not.
So it's just fucking bizarre. It's not bizarre. You've identified where it comes from, I guess.
Right?
But I couldn't figure it out.
Yeah, which is. I mean, a lot of people have different stories, but I think we talk about this in study group where a lot of American anarchists just straight up do come from the left, especially here in the Bay, where the left is so prevalent. And I know I realize it's different in other places. Like, I'm sure it's at least mild to significantly different where you're from. But I mean, for me, I had a very typical trajectory. Like, I basically was like walking the line from leftist to as ultra leftist, and then basically thought I jumped off the spectrum, the line of left and right, only to find out years later that I was still just an ultra leftist. And, you know, then it went from figuring out what does it mean to not be interested in this whole thing.
Yeah, I mean, I know people who are, you might call them post-right, you know, because I'm from Arizona.
Yeah.
The most one of the most conservative fucking states. And they come from a conservative, fiscal conservative position. And then we're like, no, they've gone even more radical than, like, the Tea Party or something of being as being opposed to the government and have become anarchists that way. So they're post-right.
You don't hear enough about the post-right, you know?
No, you don't.
Has anyone ever used that as a signifier?
I don't know.
I guess we're getting pretty esoteric at this point.
I don't know. That would be really weird.
Post-right anarchy. Yeah, I don't know. Was there anything else left you want to talk about when we're here?
No.
All right, that was it. I guess it is one thing that did bother me is, which I saw you brought up, I guess you don't want to talk about right now, but, you know, stuff like old crime thing stuff where I feel like they used to be more against the left and now it doesn't really feel that that's exactly what's going on.
Ever since that book Work or whatever it was called, yeah, they...
I just find it hard to go from, like, you know, I brought this up a few weeks ago in conversation and you brought up in the notes today, how you can go from publishing your politics are boring as fuck to basically embracing politics that are as boring as fuck.
I don't know.
It's confusing.
It's very confusing.
People's trajectories are endlessly interesting to me and sometimes endlessly disgusting.
That does sort of tie something else into the terminology with Bookchin and Bob Black and that whole, and the red-green debates that were happening during basically the anti-globe period.
Yeah.
Is sort of how, where you get an idea like post-left. That's so long, I mean, that's before 9/11. There's a lot of...
You're going pre and post 9/11 on me now?
Yeah.
Just don't be a truther. RevDoc will fall out of their chair and probably hurt themselves.
I don't
know. Why did 10 die? Because it was in the middle of 9/11.
Jesus.
All right. You got anything else before we're out of here?
Oh, is that it?
I mean, you got more? That's all I got today.
I'm good.
You good? You got all this? You want any of this?
No.
Seemed like you were done.
I'm done.
All right, thanks, Squee and RevDoc, and I'll thank myself, too. I'll ever pat myself on the back enough. There you go, Rydra. Thanks for doing your thing. And someone had to say
thanks,
it.
Thanks, Rydra.
There we
thank
go.
Thank you.
I needed someone to say it. Well, I didn't really do anything for either of you tonight. Yeah, so once again, Bellamy and I will be in Seattle this weekend. We'll be there for most of the weekend. I'm not going to tell you all our plans. Come to the book fair on Saturday. We'll be there. There's some interesting-looking talks upstairs, actually, I think. One's queer time travel. I'm all about time travel. That's a big one for me. I like the show Sliders, so I'm hoping they're going to talk about that. I'm not sure if they're going to. There's another one, abolishing education. I find that interesting. Education, I don't like it. Want it to go away. And there's some other really good sounding ones. There's one against prefigurative politics and for cruelty. So that sounded interesting. More interesting than usual.
I would love to do an episode on education.
Me too. So there you go. Squee is committed to doing an episode on education with me. FreeRadicalRadio.net. You can email us at FreeRadicalRadio@RiseUp.net. And next time you hear from us, it will be with Mr. Bellamy, former host, and once again will be a co-host. Maybe. We'll see what happens. It's Free Radical Radio. Bye.
Go. You want to go there with me?
We're live.
So shut up. Let's go there.
Shut up.
Me and you.
Shut up.
Shut up.
Black Brady.
I'll roll you like a Philly blunt and smoke your bitch ass.
I wanna watch the world burn. I wanna see the sun explode. I want all the things that I can't have, and I want a whole lot more. I wanna cut off their eyelids, leave them nothing but sleeping pills. I wanna unload 36 chambers and show them what they say is pure evil. I wanna see the four horsemen. coming up on the horizon. I want to hear the screams of 10,000 pigs. Hellfire burns them alive. Burns them alive. Burns them alive.